Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and you're listening to the 1000th show. And tonight's topic is a conversation with Joe Hoff.
This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, patriots. Tonight is Sunday, October 10th, and this is a special show tonight, a special edition show. We're still going to do Fishers of Men after this. It is a special show because tonight's show is the 1000th Bards FM show. This is amazing. I'm so excited. And so just to start it off, before we do anything, we need to have a little one-minute interlude of celebration. So please join me. And just like that, 1,000 shows. This is awesome. So let me just say something here before we kick off tonight. In less than a year, because starting when the real explosion of growth happened on Podbean and with all the followers here and all you great patriots, started around November 3rd. So we're not even a full year yet. And another thing just to highlight, because this is not small, we are now at 16,900,191 downloads. How's that one? Almost 17 million downloads. I like that number, 17. Here's another little tidbit for today. Just this is God's hand stuff. This is really cool. Today's date is, what is it? It's 2021-10-10. So that means it's 5 and 2 is 7. 7 is the perfect number of God. I like that. It's pretty cool. So anyway, all good stuff is happening today. Now, before we start, we got a couple thank yous or notes to make of our sponsors. Right off the top is, of course, our favorite coffee, Expedition Coffee. You can find that at expeditioncoffee.com, XPED, expeditioncoffee.com. The coffee is a fantastic coffee designed to boost your health, boost your focus, improve your gut health, and support your overall health in your body. It's not just like regular coffee. 50 servings a container. It's definitely worth every bit of that. And it's something I use every day now. I'm down to one cup a day. It is an instant coffee, but it's unlike any instant coffee I've ever had. It keeps my energy going all day long, and I absolutely love it. And with it now, if you go to expeditioncoffee.com, XPED, you're going to find what we call the gut health triad. The whole piece, if you listen to what Dr. Napudi talked to you about it the other night, is so much of our health is centered on our gut health, sealing the leaky gut. And all of this in this supplement, the gut health triad, is designed to work with the coffee to give you a complete system to heal the gut and boost your immune system, give you a better clarity and energy across the day. So go to expeditioncoffee.com, that's XPED, or go to bardsfm.com/coffee. Hit the links and you'll end up right there. Also, MyPillow. MyPillow has been an incredible supporter and sponsor all year. And it's something I just can't thank them enough for all they did for Bards Fest and what they continue to do for this channel. MyPillow is led by one of our greatest CEO and patriots of our time, Mike Lindell, who continues to fight for freedom and liberty and our election system. So head on over to mypillow.com. Use your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, for great savings. If you scroll on down on the front page to the radio listeners box, there's all sorts of amazing savings going on right now. 50% off on my slippers. You've got my pillow sales. You have towel sets for, instead of $109.99, it's now $39.99. So that's the six-piece towel set. You've got children's Bible story pillowcases at 50% off. It's just on and on. There's mattress sales going on. You can even get yard signs now that say Fix 2021. All of those savings are available to you using your BARDS code B-A-R-D-S. So head on over to mypillow.com and give them your love and support, and support liberty and support great product at the same time. Okay, Patriots, so this is a really big show for me because a thousand episodes is not a small deal. It's kind of, I couldn't even imagine when I was back in 100 getting to 1,000, but here we are. It's fantastic. So I want to thank you all for your amazing support of this channel and amazing support of helping grow the Bards FM channel and helping grow the Bards Nation. We've really become a force that we need to continue to grow. I believe we are on one of the leading elements of taking us into the right direction of this country and going in the direction that this country needs to go in, getting back to the center point of God and trust in God to rebuild this nation from the bottom up. We know how corrupt this place is, and we've built an amazing community that's going to support each other. And what's really neat is on this weekend, as we announced the 1,000th episode, this week, it's interesting because last week I was stressing because I was a week behind, and now I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. So this week is when I'm working directly with Clout Hub, with myself, and then with the Bards leadership team. And then the following week, we are beginning the full migration over into the county-by-county architecture on Clout Hub. So this is a great moment. So our thrust now going forward is going to be for county by county, and it's pretty cool. I want to get all this organized and get everybody coordinated so we have some real strength moving forward. Now, another couple of things. You know, I've been saying how important being in the house is, staying local to your home and your community, making sure that you are focusing on your internal temple, that sort of thing. Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but the Southwest canceled 2,000 flights today. Air controllers seem to have not shown up to work. Amtrak has been canceling trains, having train route problems because there's no staff. It's an amazing coincidence, isn't it? It's almost like people suddenly all got sick at the same time. Maybe they were sick of being forced to take the vax or something. But just like that, poof, magic, the entire infrastructure is on the verge of collapsing. And for all those people out there that took the vax to fly, guess what? Without a pilot, you don't go anywhere. So nice way to sacrifice your health on that one. So it is, we are in an amazing moment because people are awakening and they're putting their foot down finally, and it's a major tipping point. So really excited about that. So back in 2012, that era, right in that time frame, I don't know exactly if it was 2011, 2012, but I came across a site and was more like a blog site, but it was called Gateway Pundit, the Gateway Pundit. And most people had not heard about it. I mean, it was growing, but it was this news site, and it was a little different format, and there was Drudge Report, and then there was this. And it was a neat place because it was a place you could get some news. And I drifted in and out of that once in a while. Its format, like I said, was a little different. But then when we got to 2015, it's like that began to be one of my go-to places for daily news. And that was run by Jim Hoft. And in fact, Jim and I had exchanged emails about some things that I was doing with when I was working with my independent super PAC. It was an online super PAC, which was called Kilroy Rising. And Jim is a great guy. And so what I've had the privilege of, first of all, right after Bards Fest, I had the privilege of being invited onto Joe Hoff's radio show in St. Louis. And Joe is obviously the brother of Jim. He's the twin brother of Jim, and he's a great guy. So it just seemed amazing that, and just a real gift and a real neat way to celebrate the 1,000th show, that one of the news outlets that I have gone to for the last 10 years is, which is the Gateway Pundit, and I was able to get one of the one of those by name, Joe Hoft, on the show tonight to talk about things and to just indirectly celebrate our 1,000th show. And by the way, I'm on, you're going to hear the, you're going to hear where you can find his show. He does a radio show out of St. Louis, and I'm calling in tomorrow morning at Central Time, 8 a.m. to be on his show tomorrow morning. So it's pretty neat. So anyway, without further ado, I want to introduce you to Joe Hoff, and I hope you enjoy this interview, and I'll be back. We're going to be, it looks like Fishers of Men's going to be 30 minutes late tonight, just so we say it. But that's okay. You're going to enjoy this show. So here we go. Interview with Joe Hoff.
Well, Patriots, I am absolutely honored today to have Joe Hoff on, who is the brother of Jim Hoff of the Gateway Pundit. The Gateway Pundit is one of these go-to sources I have for news that I share with you regularly. It's probably one of the most solid and consistent news sources for understanding what's going on that we have out there right now. And I've been a follower of Gateway Pundit since around 2012. So anyway, it's just an amazing honor to have Joe on. And Joe, welcome to the show. If you don't mind, just why don't we start a little bit, just kind of give a background to yourself, maybe a little background to the Gateway Pundit.
Well, that's great. Thanks, Scott. It's great to be here. It's great to talk to you again. And it was nice meeting you recently, too. Really enjoyed that, too, at the radio at 93.3. So yeah, I write for the Gateway Pundit, contributing editor, and then also have a morning show at 93.3. So it's you can find it online at realtalk93.3.com, or there's an application out there that you can download and listen to our show from anywhere. We had somebody from Cape Town listening the other day. So anyways, my background is really moved to St. Louis years ago, had an MBA, and ended up getting my CPA and CISA and about 10 degrees in designations over time. And joined a corporation in St. Louis as an auditor, and started flying around the world. So I had a great, great job where I just got to see the world. If you'd like to travel and see in cool places, literally, so like Cape Town, I've been there, been to South America, South Africa, just throughout Europe and Asia, and Australia. And I probably spent about a year of my life in Australia. So wonderful job. Then I moved over to the finance area where I was overseeing one of our big regional, the Asia Pacific region, and it was growing and complex and real busy job for about 4 years. And then overseeing the region was more than $1 billion in revenues, and was a CFO for one of our regional corporations. And then had an opportunity to go and set up an audit team in Asia. And so I did that in 2011 and was there for 10 years, for a decade. And that was awesome because I got to see Asia really in depth and live there. And Hong Kong was a cool place to be. But it was just fun. It was close. My wife's Chinese, so it was close to her family. And it all worked out really, really well. Moved back a year ago. And that was a blessing how that all fell together. And I'll have to tell you about it sometime, Scott. And then in about 2016, I started writing for Jim. And my twin brother, Jim, is the founder of the Gateway Pundit. And so I started writing for him. And we ended up hitting it off really well. And I was writing for my wife's phone's going off. Sorry about that. I was writing about the election in 2016. And Jim and I talked about it every day, and I was telling Jim, you know, Ted Cruz is not going to be in this anymore. Yeah, so I realized Cruz was going to be eliminated. I told Jim that. We put a post together, one of my first posts for Jim, and Drudge Link grabbed it, put it up top, and I was really thrilled. Jim asked me, Joe, did you contact Drudge to put that up? No, he just saw it in Jim's site and put it up back in 16. Drudge was a pro-Trump, And something happened. The left realized it, and something happened over the last 4 years. I don't know if he sold. I think he sold, and they turned it into some left-leaning garbage site now. But back then, it was exciting. If you got a Drudge link, which Jim would get, you know, through that site, it'd be big numbers coming to his website. And then at the end of that month, I was absolutely spot on. And the night before the primaries out east, Drudge put a post of mine up that I'd written on a Friday saying, tomorrow, will Cruz be eliminated? And that was the headline. And then the next day I got another headline at Drudge saying, Cruz is eliminated. Eliminate Ted is what he put on Drudge Report, an iconic title and picture. And I was right. So I was pretty hooked then. And that's when I started writing for Jim. So I'm doing my day job, flying around Asia, meeting with audit committees, discussing projects and audits around the region. And, great job. I was either doing audits, leading audits, or communicating on the results of audits with audit committees around the world. And so I learned a lot doing all that as well. So all that kind of led nicely into when I came back last year to Florida and I started writing for Jim full time. And we had a lot of success over that 3 or 4 years as I was writing in the evening, and then during the day I did my day job. And we had some really big stories then too, really focused on Mueller. And here's something that happens, Scott. When you really do a good job, people flock to you. And people that are willing to help. And I had some real sharp people come out of nowhere and start feeding me information. And that was great, but I've also learned you gotta be real cautious, because there's some people that wanna feed you information that's garbage so then they can criticize the website. And so there's a learning curve there, and it helps to double check things. But it went really well, and came back, and then here I was when the election occurred of 2020, and I was right place, right time, and did a lot of work after the election, utilizing my auditing skill set, and just really, really right away knew something's going on. You don't have all these multiple sites drop, hundreds of thousands of ballots all at the same time in the middle of the night and switch these states from Trump to Biden. So we all knew this thing was stolen. We still do. And there's a lot of work still to do, but that really helped me really get involved with all this and gotten a lot of notoriety in that as well. And I was mentioning, I was gonna read you something. You don't know if your work's impactful or not. You work your tail off, and then you just don't know. And I got this letter yesterday, or an email, from this guy out in Colorado. So I wrote a post a couple days ago, and there's a lot of individuals in local government that are, people are standing up, showing up to these local town halls, etc. And out in Colorado, this group at this local county, it's Sauquatchie County. The commissioners passed this bill that was outrageous. It basically gave the commissioners power at any time to call a state of emergency, and they could control the entire county. They could tell you what you can and cannot sell. They could shut off the water to people. They could stop the sale of firearms and ammunition, and just basically do whatever they wanted to. And so I put a post up about it on Sunday, and the people in that county woke up, and they ended up going Tuesday night to this council meeting, and 100 people showed up, and they got this thing rescinded, this resolution. And one guy wrote me afterwards yesterday, and he said this. He said, "Thank you, Joe. Your article was very instrumental in charging up the citizens in our county. Many of us didn't even know about it until your story broke on Sunday. I was one of them. I guess the county was trying to be quiet about it. Now suddenly, the Gateway Pundit is the most trusted name in news around here. Everybody knows who Joe Hoft is now." So, he says, "Thank you, and keep fighting, and we will be as well." So how nice was that? You'd wonder if your work's, and people are, maybe it is making a difference here.
Well, it is. And I can assure you of that. I think that, you've hit right at my sweet spot. What my passion is these days is that fight at the county level, because of all the strategic type things that are going on in D.C. and the big election fraud issues, the medical tyranny that's going on, it can be extremely overwhelming, and knowing even how to move, because those are big motions and big organizations. But when you look at that impact that you've made at a county level, it falls into this category, and I have seven pillars that I go through, which we'll go through more in depth later. But one of the critical pillars, which is pillar number six, is informed action. And you just spoke right to it. It's like you've given the truth and people took that and it took an action. I don't think there's a higher compliment. I think that in this day and age, especially.
I agree. That was really, really makes your day. Because that's what it's about. It's about, we're fighting for our country. And that was kind of how I looked at this when I was sitting over in Hong Kong in the evenings writing articles for the Gateway Pundit, some that did really well. It was fulfilling my soul, It was like, I'm making great money over here doing this job that I liked. And I loved all the people in Asia and down to Australia. Just loved these people I was working with. So it was a great job, but the thing that really was filling me was, these articles that I could write for the Gateway Pundit, which I felt like would make a difference, hopefully. And that's what it's all about.
You have a very unique optic on the world. One of the things I can say just from my own experience is I've traveled a great deal, spent a lot of time, obviously, in Afghanistan and Europe, but you've been just about everywhere. And so this gives you a very unique optic in this day as we look at all of the chaos that is happening. This is not a localized or countrywide event. This is a global event that we're witnessing. How do you kind of wrap that together? Because this is pretty crazy time. We are literally seeing a shift in everything that we know on a global level.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think I've been blessed in that regard. And there is something said about being there. You can write a story about a place, but it helps to be there to see the place, and that was my blessing. I could write about China and stuff. And let me fill you in on China here for a bit, if you don't mind. Here's what I learned a couple years ago, and I've been going in and out of China. My wife's Chinese. And beautiful people there. Every time I go there, her family and friends have been so kind to me. And I can't even speak the language, and I know a little bit, but so nice, real gentle, beautiful people. And we'd go to the, middle of China and sit around. I can remember once I sat in a board meeting in Australia overseeing the Sydney Harbor and the beautiful bridge and the opera house on a Friday night. And by Sunday morning, I'm sitting in this kind of almost like a dirt floor building, sitting around this little fire that's cooking like a stew and eating from this pot of stew in the middle of China using chopsticks with everybody else, and really thought, man, my life's a trip. The dichotomy. And I got in a text. As I was sitting around there, I got a text from one of these board members who was also a and maybe it was an email, but he was also a head of a corporation himself. And I'm sitting there at sitting around this basically fire in China, just thinking, wow, this is just really surreal. And so there is something to be in there. Anyways, here's my story about China. I started noticing years ago. First of all, I started hearing about people saying, oh, they built these malls and nobody's in them, and things like that, and buildings. And I'm like, oh no, that's just a wives' tale. We don't know if that's true or not, but as time went by, I started to notice, man, there's some buildings around here. Boy, they are really building. And just right across from Hong Kong, for example, a couple buildings over 100 stories tall. And just all over, Shenzhen, beautiful place. But when you start seeing for lease banners hanging from these buildings, and you'd see that all over the city. Eventually, one day they were gone, and I don't think it's because they filled the, they leased the property. I think it's because the authorities said you can't put those there anymore. It's an eyesore now. And so then I noticed that there was buildings being built in the middle of China in some of these areas, and it's like there's no people here. There's no people that can afford this property. I mean, these are expensive apartments, and condos, basically, and who's going to buy them here? Because most people in that area were, you know, really basically peasants living on a farm with six or seven rice paddies and maybe some wheat and not making a lot of money, making food that maybe can get them by. So they're not going to have the extra money to buy an apartment here. So why are we building these things? You know, so I started noticing that. And then I looked at really just some numbers that came out of S&P and Bloomberg. And I remember S&P came out with some article saying, hey, something like a huge chunk of this property is basically underwater. And these banks aren't reporting these amounts that are owed to them. And even though the central government in China asked for accurate numbers, all these banks are lying. And I read a book about when Mao was there, and that's what they did, 50 years prior. He'd ask for the accurate numbers on the results of their harvest, and at every level, they'd up the number. And so by the time the number got to Mao, it was total garbage. You know, nothing was accurate. So the thing that China could use better, more than anything, is some real auditors that are accurate, because those numbers coming out of there, you cannot be trusted. And so anyways, I guess at this time, S&P was saying, a couple of years ago, was saying like there's $7 trillion, $6 or $7 trillion in off balance sheet liabilities, meaning numbers, debt that the banks aren't reporting. So it's like, wow, this vision that I saw of these buildings being empty is real. And there's a financial impact. Then we saw another number, and this came out recently, that there's an estimate that the local governments have like $8 trillion in off-balance sheet liabilities that they're not reporting, because the local governments worked with the banks to get this building in their area. Everybody wanted new buildings and stuff, but they didn't understand that, you know, the supply and demand, I guess. And so, like something like $8 trillion in local governments now in China with off balance sheet liabilities, meaning they're not recording them. They're not reporting them. It's in the US that would be called basically, it could be illegal. You'd be sued by stockholders. That's cause for you to go to jail. So that's happening all over China. And anyways, then we saw Trump over the last few years of his presidency while I was there. He put the hammer on China. And he said when they didn't want to play his game, he just put up the pressure. And he put a lot of pressure on China. Remember, he told companies to leave China. And they were. And I can tell you this, just from being there, I know a guy who owns a plant in China, he runs it, and he, 5,000 people, you know, pretty big, good-sized plant, and they were looking for a new facility, and they decided to go outside of China. And they looked in Vietnam, and they couldn't get any property there because all the Chinese companies are moving to Vietnam because it was cheap. So they had to get out of China because they had these extra taxes dealing with the U.S. through China. So they... So anyways, this guy had to build a plant in Thailand, because that tells you something, that Trump's actions were working. And I talked to a CEO who I knew and asked him, how's the economy doing, a couple of years ago, CEO in China. He said, well, I went golfing with a couple of other CEOs the week prior. And he says, you know, they said they all agreed that the economy was terrible. And this is 2 years ago in China. So things were happening. Trump was putting a lot of pressure on these guys, and the whole world thought they were, you know, when Obama was leaving office, they were saying China's going to be the new, you know, number one in the world, right? They're going to be the biggest economy. And, you know, and that was all garbage, because after Trump, we saw the U.S. GDP go up to like more than 20 trillion, and China's sitting at 14. So it wasn't even close, yet they were already saying under Obama that China surpassed the U.S. I mean, this is the garbage message that Obama was fine with, because Obama, I just believe, hates the U.S. It's the only thing that makes any sense. So Anyways, of late, we've noticed that the debt of the local communities is maybe in the half their GDP at $8 trillion. We know from a couple of years ago the debt of these banks in China, that's not being reported, was estimated at $6 trillion. So that's basically their GDP just between the banks and the local communities that's not being reported, not counting the debt that's already reported. And then what happened about a month ago was this company called Evergrande, a huge company apparently in China, in Hong Kong. Don't remember ever seeing them when I was there. Might have walked by their building, didn't notice. But they apparently have the most debt of any corporation in the world, $300 billion in debt. And they start going bankrupt. Well, their business is real estate, and most of their holdings are in China. So they've got real estate they've purchased and they've built, and nobody's living in it. So they can't pay the bank. The bank's not reporting it. And the local communities that stepped in to help these companies build, I guess, they're going bust too. Now these major real estate companies are going under. And so Evergreen's going under, and it's been a big story for the last month or so. I've written about it at the Gateway Pundit. And now we've seen other companies associated with Evergrande are going under, and we're seeing other companies now that are in the same business are starting to report that they're having solvency issues. And yesterday I reported that the wealthiest woman in Hong Kong, she's connected to Evergrande. So the company she owns, that company owns about 70% stake in, they own a big chunk of Evergrande. So it's now impacting some of these billionaires in Hong Kong. And I knew it would. I think that's just the tip of the iceberg. I think there's more. So this is what's going on with China right now that our media is not covering. In my opinion, China is imploding economically. They are in a world of hurt. Now, at the same time, we heard a couple of weeks ago that China has decided to stop electricity at least one day a week to certain companies. Now, if you're on the good list, you might get more electricity than other companies. Some companies, we found out then after a week or two, some company manufacturers are only getting electricity one day a week. So there's rationing going on in China with electricity. So that mixes in with what we're hearing in really with the financial sector. So China's in a world of hurt, and a lot of people don't understand that or know that. And COVID, you know, here was a thought that I raised with Bannon the other day when I was on Steve Bannon's show. And under Bannon, I shared this, and this has been my thought. I think China may have dropped COVID intentionally. And the rationale for that would be because their economy was falling apart and they didn't want to be the only, you know, black sheep on the block. They just decided, let's bring the whole world down. And which is what they did, whether intentionally or not. But there's certainly a rationale for why they might do it intentionally. And these people in the CCP, they don't play by the same rules we do. They don't have a problem, you know, doing anything for power. So you can't put anything past them. So there's my China story, and in part from really seeing some of that from being there.
Well, I think that's what gives it so much validity. When I read your article the other day, which is you do have that on the ground experience to really see what was going on before. And you pointed out some interesting things that we often forget, and even myself, because I'm pretty hard on China and as a whole. And I try to separate CCP, but there's a lot of frustration I think we all feel with the amount of human atrocities that go on there, and not a lot of at least known reaction by the people. But you pointed out something, and it goes back to when I was working with Department of Defense. And it was the staggering statistic that there were 200,000 people in China still living in caves. That's a real number. And here you mentioned, like, you had gone from Australia to the next day to the dirt floor. We forget that the economic growth in China has not been level. It's been really, it was a very peasant, very third world nation. And really, for the large part, in many ways, it still is.
Yes, yes, for sure. And I wrote a book when I moved over to Hong Kong called Fallen Eagle, Rising Tigers. And my theory was that China, you know, Asia was growing then. This was under Obama, and the U.S. was just folding. And really, one key point is the U.S. was becoming more socialist, where China was becoming more, you know, free enterprise. And they did that. And so in 1980, they had like a billion people in abstract poverty. And by going and allowing people, they did a couple things that Mao wouldn't have done. They said, okay, we realize that some people are going to get richer sooner than others, and we're going to allow that because they got a billion people that are poor, really poor, and can hardly eat. I mean, they had people die of starvation in the 1960 or so under Mao. Die of starvation. My wife's grandfather died of starvation. He had three little girls, and I can only imagine that he let them eat rather than himself, you know, to keep them alive, and, you know, probably gave his life doing that. And so that's the reality. So actually, a half a billion people have been lifted out of abstract poverty as China allowed people to have their own property. And so they have come a long ways, but there's still this regime that's overseeing them. And you're right, there's still the poverty there. It was wild going there and, you know, sitting around these fires and eating, and everybody's nice and happy. And the guys are all drinking some sort of beer or wine or whatever. And just watching them, they were good people, but they didn't have a lot, but most people had a cell phone, you know? Like, it's a mixture of 1900 US with, you know, with 2020 iPhones, you know, and some of the advantages we have today. So it's still, you're right, there's a lot of poverty there. I know that some of these people don't even have running water yet. They don't have, maybe they don't have electricity or don't have sewers.
Yeah, that's amazing. He was a historian by the name of Carl Wittfogel that wrote a book in the 30s on China's dynastic cycles based on what I think he called it the hydraulics of the empire, hydraulic cycles, which is all based on the control of water and how the dynastic cycles, the dynasties, he mapped them to every time the water works got improved, the dynasties grew, and as they started to crumble and there was more flooding and more starvation, they fell. It's a fascinating study in a couple of ways. When I was doing my studies in history, the Chinese exchange students knew that book. It was an obscure book. You could hardly find it. Still, you can find it on PDF online, but it's hard to find it. Yet they knew that book because they were very cognizant of their cycles and how they wanted to change the direction of their nation, not to be in a cyclic rise and fall. And yet we're here again with a similar crisis because ultimately, though we're not seeing necessarily directly the waterworks, we have seen big floodings, and that's a big issue, obviously. But we're getting back to this food shortage, which is rising in China. Everything we're seeing is they've had crop failures. They've had to cull their livestock herds. And they're also having this huge flooding in the south. So interesting. I don't know your thoughts on that. I mean, it's a huge stress on the global demand supply system as they try to sweep up both energy and food to feed a nation. Then they're heading into a pretty, to use the term, a dark winter.
Well, I read that recently. Some guy sent me some stuff, some guy that's been writing about China and food. He understands food really well, and he's over there in Asia someplace. And he pointed out that China doesn't make enough food to feed themselves right now. And I didn't realize that. They're not self-sustaining. So when Trump did these deals with them on, farm crops from the U.S., that helped us and that helped them. And that was real smart on both countries. That was a win-win for both. And I kind of feel like that's how Trump was with his deal. He wanted a win-win, probably knowing that if you get a win-win, then the agreement's going to stay in place for a while, you know? And so, yeah, that was a win-win. But I think China, you know, these guys that are running the show, I think they were getting ready to take over the world. And with the, what is it, one road policy, what's that? The
Silken Road. Yeah, the Silken Road, Silken one road.
So then Trump comes along and he changed things. So a lot of people didn't like Trump.
And I've said this before, love him or hate him, and I really respect him so much for what he's did for the awakening of America. I don't have to agree with everything he's done, but I'm a big Trump fan, And the thing about Trump that's the most unusual part of any president is I would argue that there's probably not a person on this face of this earth that doesn't know his name at this point in time, love him or hate him.
That's a great point. I love him. I loved him from the start because the thing that he did first was he started pointing out, boy, you guys are dishonest, talking to the media. He said, he sat down with this girl from MSNBC, Turk, I think's her last name, and said, you know, you guys used to give me great, you know, press. It was, you know, very accurate, and I had a great business, and you'd write about it, and you were very fair. And then he said, then I ran for politics here, and you guys are just throwing all sorts of garbage out. It's just garbage. It's not even true. And immediately I loved him when he said that because I've been following Jim for, you know, for some time, more than 5 years I've been following his site and excited about his growth and the accomplishments. And media's corrupt. It's just not honest. And tell you what, I saw a video some friend sent me, a guy who reached out to me after the election, who's one of these senior guys at one of these big four firms. And he gave me some great information as we were looking through the election aftermath. Obvious that this election was stolen. And he sent me this video a couple days ago, and it's a history of how do you fight communism. And basically, it brought up Solzhenitsyn and is it Havlov Pavel? Is that how you say his name? And basically, they both had the same thesis. You beat communism through the truth. Don't buy in the lies. Stop buying into the lies. And that is why communists go directly. Their number one threat is the truth. So they go after, you know, people like us. That are we're reporting the truth, and they don't like that. And that's why we get censored at big tech, and I've seen Jim get censored down to almost zero and still grow, and watch his revenues, you know, shrink to almost nothing because Google and Facebook own like 80% of the revenues online. And you know, this is censorship. This is communist garbage. What's going on? And they know it, and they get in front of Congress, people like Zuckerberg, and lie about it. And of course, he knows that they're censoring every conservative. And we see it again. Then this clown that came up this week, this girl that claims to be a whistleblower, and how you find out that she was working on blocking anything nasty about anything true about Hunter Biden before the election. That was her job. She's no whistleblower. She got in there to say basically we need to censor conservatives more, calling us fake news, you know? And it's outrageous that this is going on in our country. This is a communist theory and activity, not what I've ever seen in America.
Oh, I agree. I ran an unaligned super PAC for him. I am 100% behind Trump. Wow. And yeah. I love the guy for what he's done. And like I say, it's the thing that I try to push to people is I can love that president and everything he is and still disagree with him on policies, and it doesn't change my support or my dedication to him. And I only bring that up because the one thing that I think we've seen a beautiful growth in the conservative movement is that simple awakening, is that I can disagree with certain things, but I can completely get behind the president. I don't have to be 100% lockstep with everything he does, and yet I can give all my support. And for me, if the growth that I've seen of the conservative side, that's been one of the most important awakenings, if I use that term, for conservative America is to realize that people are imperfect. But man, Trump ranks as probably, in my opinion, one of the greatest presidents we've had because of all the shakeup he did and what he's taken as far as like the broadsides, right? It's just incredible.
Oh my God. I mean, really, who could have put up with that? That they were going to, and I look back now at Nixon. That's what this thing brought up in me. And of all people, the first person they brought up in their first, you know, garbage impeachment was it John Dean? From the Watergate, and that son, their first witness. What a fool! And what was he doing there? You know, is that some sort of acknowledgement for how he took down Nixon? Because they put so much pressure on Nixon, and he got set up by people inside, and he ends up resigning, and that is exactly what they wanted to do to Trump. We find out it's all based on a lie. The Russia collusion thing was a total lie made up by Hillary Clinton, and. Nothing happens to her, but we go through this garbage for 3 or 4 years, and half the country, you know, I don't think a half, but a certain percentage of the country still believes that Trump had some sort of relationship with Russia, and nothing can be further from the truth. As a matter of fact, some of these people, like Fiona Hill, is coming out with a book, and she was one of the witnesses in the impeachment, and she was in Trump's White House, and Trump came out with he just bashed her yesterday, like I love. Because that lady is a fiend. She was not there for America. We've got a picture of her sitting next to Putin, looking at him like she's just in love. And at some meeting that she's having with Putin. And this lady tried to, you know, take out our president. And Trump let her have it, called her second rate. And, just not very smart, but a great accent. And she got in front of Congress and I believe she didn't tell the truth. And here's the big thing about our media and about people like Fiona Hill. They don't tell the truth when they don't tell the truth, when they don't share the entire story. So our media will say 5% over here, like with the Arizona audit results. Well, Joe Biden actually picked up 200 votes. It's all over. Nothing else was there. I read a piece this morning at Slate saying nothing else came up. And that is a total lie. We've uncovered between the canvassing of about 300,000 and the actual results from the audit of about 400,000, 700,000 ballots that are in question. Biden won that election by 10,000, or they gave it to Biden by 10,000, which was just appalling what happened there. It took them 2 weeks to count to finally get the results of the election that they were willing to certify. And it was a joke. They get Biden 10,000 ballots at the end when we've got 700,000 ballots in question. And Slate is going to say, nothing to see here, folks. Let's move on. And Slate's just indicative of the entire media complex. Just a bunch of liars for what they don't share. And that's, you know, that's what's been going on with our media. And that was Fiona Hill. She gets up there and tries to say this garbage about Trump and insinuates that she knew anything about Russia. I loved it how Devin Nunes, I saw a video yesterday from him back during that impeachment hearing, saying, well, there's no crime committed and there's nobody that's been harmed, and here we are, you know? And the real culprits, the real people that got caught are the Democrats. And there's Schiff sitting next to him, just the clown that he is. But Fiona Hill was involved with this guy that worked with her is the guy who supposedly gave all the information to the FBI concerning the Steele dossier, which we know is all garbage. And this guy's garbage. And he's a good friend of Fiona Hill. And she knew it. And she saw the Steele dossier a day before it even went public. So that's kind of pertinent information, don't you think, that should be brought out? But she lies by not sharing that information. Just like our media lies by not sharing the whole truth. And it's the whole truth and nothing but the truth that we say. And these people they don't care about the truth. I mean, they care about an agenda. And that's communism. That's not America. And that's where we've gone now with these Democrats. They're toxic.
Oh, they are.
Now they're just going full commie.
And they're bringing all this other deep state sellouts with them. That's the part, you know, the Mitch McConnells and the others. So it really is.
You're right.
Joe, I'm looking at your time. We always close with a prayer, but before we do that, and I'd love to get you back on because I had such a great time on your radio show and would love to get you back on in a few weeks to kind of give us some more updates about the great things you're doing. Where do you see things going for yourself in the next few weeks, and where can people listen to your radio show besides following you on Gateway Pundit?
Oh, that's great. Thanks. So you can reach us at, there's a website, realtalk93.3.com, 93.3.com. And then we have this application you can download through Google or through Apple Store. And it's Real Talk 93.3. It's the white eagle is the icon. And so that's the one. That's us. And then you can listen to us around the clock. You can go to our website and get my prior, now that we've got our prior audios out there, so that are available. So that's how you can reach the radio show. At the Gateway Pundit, you can reach me there as well. And any one of my articles, you can send me a response, and I'll get it. And I'm staying real busy between the radio. So I'll write a story and then bring it up the next day on the radio. So that seems to work pretty well because I feel like I know the story better than anybody since I wrote it. So
that's very true.
So that's working well right now. And you know, we're just hoping to continue to grow. We get to, I think the thing with the Gateway Pundit that really kind of grabs me is that it's been under attack for a very long time because it's sharing the truth. And for a long time, I think the attackers were winning, but then we're seeing it grow. And especially, I think, over the last 4 or 5 years, especially since the election. And it's because we're sharing the truth. And anybody can see this election was stolen. You didn't have to be a rocket scientist. And I mentioned that to Trump. Jim and I had a chance to talk to Trump. And I said that, you know, I'm a corporate auditor, but you don't need to be a corporate auditor to see that this thing was stolen. He goes, that's right. Anyways, I think that's really helped give us a lot of credibility, and we're moving past, I think, this lie from the left that we're, you know, they've tried so hard to slander us and to say that we're fake news, and it's not sticking, because more and more we're getting comments like this guy from Colorado that I mentioned early on here, just saying thank you, you know, thanks for sharing this, and because of you, we basically got rid of this resolution that was garbage that never should have been in play. And it was a bunch of good Americans that got together and did that. And you're right, it starts at the local level. And we've got to fight. We've got to fight because I think the libs and George Soros and whoever's working with them, China, whoever, realize that at this local level, it's really important. And that's why, in part, the Attorney General Garland came out the other day and threatened Americans who were going to stand up and speak their mind at these local either school boards or county boards or whatever. And then we find out, well, not only that, but he's vested in this stuff because his son-in-law has this company that's been given millions from Facebook and others that's pushing this critical race theory around the country. And so what Garland was doing was standing up for his son-in-law. And I think Garland should be, people should demand that guy resign for doing that. He had a financial interest in this, his family does, and he's telling people not to show up or asking the FBI to show up at these meetings, really just threatening us for standing up for our right for free speech and our desire to have our children not be taught racism, which is what critical race theory is.
It's insane. I mean, this I don't think we've ever seen an administration so blatantly corrupt and hating America as they do. I mean, I don't think we've ever seen anything like this.
I agree. Yeah, this blatantly communist. You know, it really is. And that's why the truth is so important.
Well, Joe, we always close with a prayer, and if it's okay with you, we'll do a prayer. Okay.
Thanks. That's great.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this time and this blessed meeting that we've come together to hear yet another voice from this war of truth and a great patriot, Joe Hoff, and all that he represents with Joe and Jim and the Gateway Pundit family and the radio program. Lord, we just ask that you'll continue to bless Joe and all the efforts he does as he moves forward to continue to pursue the truth, as we know that the truth always wins. and to continue to allow people to hear that and open their hearts and minds to where we are and that path that we need to follow to get back to the place where truth leads. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Joe. It's just an honor to have you on today. And looking forward to having you back on in a few weeks and just kind of keeping us up to date. So thank you. I'll make sure we get the links up so everyone can get over to your radio show. And by the way, I'm just going to say, radio show is a fantastic program. It's such a refreshing place to go, knowing it's on. It's like a radio program that speaks truth. What a great show. So.
Great, thanks. We'll have to, by the way, we want to get you back on the radio too. We had a great time when you were there. We got to get you back.
Absolutely.
So we'll set something up, okay?
All right, sounds good. Well, have a blessed day and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Bye.
Well, Patriots, that was Joe Hoff, and just a great guy. I've really been honored to get to know him and had a really good interview with him after Bard's Fest. It was the Friday after Bard's Fest. And that was solid. I was in the studios there with him in St. Louis. And then tomorrow morning, I'll be calling in at 8 Central Time, 6 a.m. Pacific Time, and to be on the show again. And I'll put the link for that up after the show. I'll put it under the podcast. And you can find it if you want to tune in tomorrow. You can also get their app. It's a great program. And it really is a good program. They hit hard truth all the way through there. His program in particular. Also on that same station, Dr. Eric Napudi has a program. So that's worth listening to. So there you go. So this is the conclusion of the 1,000th show. Again, many thanks to all of you. And thanks to everyone listening out there. Thank you to all of you. And thank you to all of the great people that have come on the show, which has been amazing in itself. We've had an amazing array of voices, and it's only going to get better. I have some this week, by the way, where I'm interviewing Dr. Larry Pilevsky this week, and we got a really unique guest coming on this week. His first name's Josh. He is leading the fight for the American Airlines anti-vax group. So he's a powerful voice, and this is going to be great to hear. So anyway, just we'll continue to grow, and that's the best part about this, and it's all thanks to you. And we're just, you know, what we've done in a year, imagine where we're going to be each year and each growing month, especially as we expand county by county. There's just so many things starting to evolve now, and the awareness of the importance of the local level is becoming very prescient for many people as they realize that the true change is going to happen at that local community, city, and county level, which is so important. And ultimately, what we're part of here is really reshaping America. In my opinion, when we use the term make America great again and make it better than before, which is obviously President Trump's line, but where I see that happening is at the county level, where we're all taking back our power locally. We're re-innovating everything from ground up, and we're dumping this tech Luciferian nonsense and expunging it from our culture and really reshaping America in a completely new way. So it's going to take a lot of work, and we have a long ways to go to get there. But the beautiful thing is that in all of this, God leads us. And as we keep God first in all things and we listen to God, we are going to be on the right path to create not just a better country, but an entirely new way of respecting and working with each other. That's, to me, the big piece. At the end of the day, I think we can all agree that it's going to be pretty hard to stomach government when we get through with this, as we find out how deceitful they really are. And that's where we have to really look towards each other in our communities and why communities are going to be so important. So with that, Patriots, I'm going to close. One last comment. The Fishers of Men show will start right after this at 10 after, and it's now 2 after. So there we go. So I'm going to shut chat off very quickly. I have about 2 or 3 minutes to close out chat after we finish, and then we'll start the next show after that. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into this fight. If anything has shown me how effective things can be, over 1,000 shows, and prayers and listening to God. It's been an amazing first 1,000, and we have thousands more to go, and it's exciting. We've gone from a small little podcast and their small little following to now in 120 countries, almost nearly 17 million downloads, and it's growing every day. And that's God working through each of us. So keep our faith strong. Keep our prayers strong. God is with us. He'll never forsake us as we walk on that solid rock of faith. And in the end, God wins. And the most beautiful part about this, over and over, I'm reminded each and every day as I get on these shows, is God is working through us. And as we work and listen to God and God works through us, we're winning on a big scale every day. We don't necessarily see it, but it's happening. So I'll see you very shortly for Fishers of Men. Thank you again for tuning in for this special show for 1,000th episode. So until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. Push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. we stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.